Jerkers, and welcome to episode 2 of Jerking the Curtain. I am Jeremy Staples, and with me as always is Brett Beeler. Say hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Oh, once again, dude, come on.
I know. Sorry, I'll figure something else out.
Get a better intro, man, because
start
pulling your weight around
here.
Line.
I know.
It's called an intro. It's called an intro, asshole. Come on, get with the times. All right, so we're going to hop right into our review of Raw last night. Once again, I wasn't able to see the beginning of the show because of family commitments, but I have the spoilers here in front of me, and I have kind of gone over them throughout the week. So we'll start at the top. The Daniel Bryan, Vince McMahon segment at the beginning of the show. Did you get to go back and watch any of this, by the way?
No, I usually don't bother to miss or go back and watch what I miss. I usually miss 20, 30 minutes or so. And they recap so much throughout the night that I get the gist of it. And I don't get off work till right at 8, right when the show's starting. So, but I figure I got most of what went down.
Yeah, same here. I kind of like the direction that they're going in here, where it's now shifting to more of Vince McMahon against Daniel Bryan coming into SummerSlam, where Cena is, he's a major player in it, but he doesn't seem to be, it's not in the forefront as much now after this week. They're kind of pushing the story that Vince doesn't think that Bryan is worthy, really, of being champion, for his size. They even had him at one point kneel down, lower himself, so he got eye to eye with Daniel Bryan, kind of poking fun at his size. So Bryan got right back up at his face by standing up on his tippy toes to talk to him. I really do think that they are headed to giving the title to Bryan at SummerSlam. I think that's the direction where it's all going in.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely agree with that. I feel like it's going to kind of be the driver for the big Vince versus Triple H route that they're shoving down our throats right now, and it's supposedly leading to a match at WrestleMania. So I think I've been kind of back and forth on whether Bryan's actually going to win or not, and I think that the chances of him actually winning the title are higher now.
Yes, that's definitely. What do you think of that rumor of the where they're going towards WrestleMania? With the Vince McMahon Triple H thing, do you think that it's going to be like a surrogate stepping in the place of McMahon to face Triple H?
It kind of better be, because I really don't want to see Vince in the ring. I've never really liked seeing him in the ring that much as it is, and he's so old now. And I'll probably get some flack for this, Triple H versus Taker. This last year was pretty good. The year before that, I feel like it was just kind of a huge spot fest. They kind of just went right towards all the weapons and everything. So I feel like Vince and Triple H would kind of be more of the same and nowhere near as good, because you don't have Taker involved. So they better have a surrogate. But at the same time, I'm also one who kind of hates WrestleMania rumors, 6 to 9 months before the show even started. So much changes between now and then. So we'll see how it plays out.
If you were to – I know you just said you don't like the rumor mongering leading in, but if you right now were to choose somebody to go in the place of Vince McMahon in that match, who would you pick?
Personally, since it's kind of so up in the air and we're shooting way far ahead, why not The Rock? Why not have The Rock come back for a heel run? And Rock and Triple H have always kind of had that little backstage animosity rivalry between them. So I think that would kind of be a good way to go. I know Stone Cold was rumored recently on all the dirt sheets, and I think that would be a waste of Stone Cold, and I feel like The Rock is already a waste, as well as this Vince Triple H storyline, so why not just put all of the waste together?
Yes, I agree, but I would actually be more in favor of that Triple H Rock match than pretty much any idea for a Rock match going forward. I like, because they have all that story from their their past to feed into it, and not like WWE likes to use a lot of hindsight and show you the stuff that happened years ago. They kind of shy away from it at times, but I think if done right, this could be really good, if they, that's the direction they go. So the next segment was the Shield taking on the Usos and Mark Henry. Once again, I did not see this match. Had you got home by that point?
I had not. I actually, after Raw last night, I was wondering, was the Shield even on tonight? I had to go and I had to look online and see that they were. So I know we speculated last week that they were building towards a match, this exact match that we got last night at SummerSlam. And I read recently on the sheets that they might be building more towards the Shield versus Mark Henry and Big Show in a handicap match. And we all know he is due back soon. And I don't know. I mean, I'd like to rather see the Usos kind of get a push just to build up the tag team division a little more. But at the same time, you know, as much as I don't really care too much for either Big Show or Mark Henry, them tag team against the Shield does have a good story behind it. I think it would actually be a pretty good match.
Yes, and it gets them all on the show. And so, yeah, I totally agree. Next segment, RVD versus Fandango. Another match that I did not get to see. I'm personally okay with that because I missed the horrible, horrible sight that is Summer Rae. God, I hate that kind of...
I did see this one. I did get home in time for that. And, I mean, it was a pretty good match. It was, yeah, lucky me. It was okay. Ended by count out with Fandango just doing the heel tactic of bailing out of the ring and not bothering to go back in. We got to see most of RVD's spots, save for the five-star frog splash. I'm still waiting for a story for them to put Rob Van Dam in. I was really excited when they brought him back. I still love Rob Van Dam. I love what he does in the ring. But I want to see him have a purpose and that they brought him back for a reason as opposed just to, you know, put him in random matches with guys here and there.
Yes, yes, totally. That'll come in time. So next up was Caitlin versus AJ, non-title match. Caitlin actually won the match. That's kind of surprising. AJ has pretty much, you know, handled her, you know, pretty well so far. After the match, Dolph came out and that set up a match with him and Big E immediately following, which I guess Ziggler won by DQ. Is that correct?
Yeah, AJ came in and freaked out on Ziggler, and I thought it was a really good match. I mean, it was kind of short. Looks like it went only about 5 minutes long, but every time Big E gets a chance to kind of show what he can do and they really put him in the real match as opposed to just being the statue of a bodyguard, he really impresses me. I really like what he's doing. He had a lot of energy in the match, and I'm really, really excited for their match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I like Big E, but he has to ditch that finisher. The big ending is just terrible. It's like damn near as bad as Wade Barrett's Wasteland. Just, it does not look like it hurts, really. It actually looks like it probably hurt Big E more because the guy was landing on top of his shoulder. Does not make any sense. But, you know, that's not up to me, I guess. Next match, and this is actually where I showed up last night and was able to begin viewing the show. Christian versus Alberto Del Rio in what was a pretty damn good match. Christian was able to get the roll-up victory over the World Heavyweight Champion, and I'm guessing that that leads to a possible match between the two of the pay-per-view?
Well, I have read SmackDown spoilers, so I know the answer to that question, and I guess I won't say, but I guess I hope so. No, I know whether it does or not.
That's a safe answer. Safe answer. Yeah, we'll keep this spoiler free for anybody who has, you know, not read those spoilers. I did, but
so it's not too spoilery that you do find out who gets to face Del Rio on SmackDown this week.
Well, there you go. We'll leave it at that. Next up, Cody Rhodes versus Wade Barrett. Another pretty good match, I thought. I love both these guys, so it was pretty, you know, cool seeing them facing off. Now that, you know, Cody Rhodes is firmly established as a face. I guess Sandow came out afterwards, cut a promo. I don't really remember that. I was, I believe, talking to you online. So
probably.
Yeah, probably. It's usually the way it goes.
I'm still in love with the storyline. Anything that gets Cody more TV time and Sandow more mic time, in my opinion, is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, you just want him to have more mic time so you see him, you know, walking around and holding it like a fucking wine glass.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
I still think that's fucking awesome. Why hasn't anybody ever done that before? Okay, next up, Daniel Bryan versus his former tag team partner, Kane. He won by pinfall, of course, because, you know, Bryan's getting the big push, so he has to look good going into SummerSlam. After the match, Kane actually chokeslammed Daniel Bryan, and then the Wyatt family came out and once again laid out Kane. Wyatt promo followed. I like that they are, you know, of course, continuing the story with Wyatt and Kane. I would almost rather it be a one-on-one match between Bray and Kane at the pay-per-view, but we all know it's probably going to be like a tag match of some sort. Just seems to me that that's the way they would go. What do you think?
They might go that way. I'm not sure exactly where they're going with it. I remember reading rumors last week, and after this week, I'm starting to kind of believe them that Kane is going to join the Wyatts. I do kind of feel like they're going in that direction. So I don't know if that's going to mean a match, a SummerSlam, or exactly what's going on. I'm going to need another week or two before the show to really, I guess, get my head in the game and figure out where they're going with that one.
Yes, follow the buzzards. Next up, another Divas match, two on Raw. That has to be a first in at least a year. It's been a long time since they've had two Divas matches.
Yeah, a long
on Raw.
Time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Brie Bella versus Natalya. Short match. It was whatever. It was more really to, you know, promote the rerun, the re-airing of Total Divas that aired immediately following Raw. That was the only reason why this match existed, and so I don't think we should talk about it anymore.
Let's move on.
Yes. Curtis Axel versus R-Truth, non-title match. Heyman came out, cut a promo, you know, of course, putting over Axel, which that's what Paul Heyman does best, putting over his proteges. CM Punk with the run-in. Him and Axel, you know, fought it out. And then he went after Heyman. Heyman was able to escape. And, of course, you know, Punk had some words for him. I love that they're, you know, the way that they're continuing the story. It's probably the best thing going on right now in WWE, minus the Wyatts, in my opinion. They do need to get Brock on Raw this coming week, though.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much imperative to continue this storyline.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely can't just be on the go-home show. They need to have a bit more build to it, especially since, in my opinion, it is the biggest match going into SummerSlam. People might disagree with the whole Daniel Bryan-John Cena thing, and I think that's just kind of hype for Bryan. Whereas with Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk, that's two guys you really want to see in the ring. Just go at it, and they're so different that you know you're going to get something amazing. Whereas John Cena, Daniel Bryan, you're watching that match for Daniel Bryan. Nobody gives any worth of a shit about Cena than they already do now. So,
yes, that's true. That match, the Cena Bryan match, has the position, in my view, as being the Punk Cena match at Money in the Bank 2011. It has all the same components, the building blocks. The difference being that on that show they didn't have another match, you know, that of the caliber of a CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar to distract people away from it. So to me, it's not going to end up in the long run being as big of a deal as Punk winning the title, but still going to be a spectacle nonetheless.
I want to touch a little bit more on this last segment before we move on. With Curtis Axel, I mean, I like where they're going. You know, it's the whole Paul Heyman, he's his protege, so of course he's going to be involved when Punk's trying to get his hands on him and everything. But, I mean, he's the Intercontinental Champion. I want to see him feud with somebody for the title. I want to see him defend the title and win and, you know, kind of establish himself.
Yes.
And I feel like he's kind of the third wheel, I guess maybe even fourth wheel, in the whole Brock Heyman Punk storyline we've got going on now. He's definitely
he's not at the
top there, and I kind of like to see him have his own feud.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, he's the Intercontinental Champion. Not that that belt really means anything anymore, but, of course, he deserves his own feud. At this point, I don't even know if they're going to even give him a match on the show.
I think it'd be great to see, like, him feud with RVD for the title. I mean, you've got Heyman there. There's history between him and RVD. And, you know, it'd be a great storyline. It would really help elevate Curtis Axel. And again, going back to talking about giving RVD a purpose, you know, that there it is right there. It's like it's right in front of their faces. They should really, you know, grab that ball and run with it.
I could not agree with you more, and I would be shocked if that's not the direction they end up going in. Good call. I didn't think about pairing those two up at SummerSlam. Hopefully WWE did as well. You know,
hopefully.
Takes your advice. Yes. Next up, backstage segment. Vince, Triple H, Maddox. I really don't even remember what happened in this thing.
I don't either. Let's skip that. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. We went right to the John Cena Ryback match. Honestly, could not care less going into this match. Could not care less.
I don't know why they did a tables match. It really makes no sense when they just had a tables match in their three stages of hell. I don't remember if it was the last. No, it wasn't. Was it the
the ambulance match
was Money in the Bank.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
was it?
So
I
think it was at Money in the Bank, wasn't it? No, it was either the last
or
the one before that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think you're right.
Either way, they just did it. Like, I understand it's Raw, you know, it's free TV, and they saved their big guns for later. But give us a different match. Give us even a street fight or a false count anywhere. I mean, you've got so many different matches in your repertoire that you can have, and they pull out a table match, and it's just meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it.
It
Cena
seemed out of
right back.
Yeah. The best thing.
Except
was,
for the ending.
Know,
we can talk
Brian.
About the ending. The match was just lame, but
yeah.
The end, yeah, we had Brian running out and celebrating for a match he wasn't even in, which I loved. I thought it was awesome. And he's holding the belt, and Cena looked like he was, you know, ready to fight him off. Brian just handed the belt back to him for now, and so they're still kind of skirting that edge where they're still, you know, kind of friends, kind of on the same side, but not really trusting each other yet. So I guess that was a good end to the show to continue their storyline, but
yeah,
the match getting to that point was a waste.
That ending, it really reminded me of when CM Punk returned, you know, in 2011 after winning the belt and Money in the Bank, and him and Cena had that showdown where they're both holding the title up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both, you know, at this point, you know, good guys going in, you know, to this upcoming match at, you know, SummerSlam, I believe it was.
Right.
So they're kind of just, you know, playing off what they did 2 years ago. All right, so we got a few news stories to cover here. I guess we'll go right into the big news that came out today. Well, semi-big news, I guess, with the fan in Cape Town, South Africa, at the live event that they were running there in their big tour that they have going. The fan who came into the ring and basically gave Randy Orton a low blow, a wrestling-style low blow, while he was standing on the second rope celebrating post-match. In the video, if you go and watch it, you see Orton go down. He got right back up. He doesn't seem like he was that injured by what happened. He then tried kicking at the fan. The security escorted him out. You just don't see things like this very often anymore.
Not too much anymore.
No, no. I always think of it was Chris Jericho. On Raw once, where a fan tried attacking him, and Jericho started laying into him with punches. And it was one of the greater sights ever to, you know, see one of those douchebag fans who come over the railing get popped in the face. There is a bit of an update on the story where it seems that, you know, Randy Orton is not injured, but the fan has been jailed and he's pending criminal charges. Good. And who knows what they do to people in jail in South Africa.
Who knows? I agree. And as much as I loved seeing Randy take a shot to the balls, I mean, you're there to watch the show, not be part of the show. Sneaking up on anybody like that, it's pretty scumbaggy to me. So props to that guy, but fuck that guy at the same time.
Fuck that guy. Okay, so next up, we have a bit of a retraction from a news story we covered last week concerning the TNA release of Jesse Sorensen. In the original story and some rumors that I had read that leading up to all this, I had read that he was actually cleared to return and he was ring shy. He did not feel like he was ready to get back in the ring, and TNA was pushing him in that direction. And that was what led up to him being cut after he'd been put into a backstage role. I guess the truth came out that he has been wanting to return to the ring. It was TNA who was keeping him out because they were concerned over him possibly re-injuring his neck and possibly ending his career and or life at that point. And there's also been a slight update to the story to where Sorensen is saying that it was not him who was using Kickstarter to try to, I don't know. The story varies on this. What version of the story did you read where he was using it for
some
competition?
I read that it was like his brother or one of his like good friends essentially went and posted that stuff and asking for money. And I don't actually think it was Kickstarter. I think it was something called like Fund Me or something like that.
One of those crowdfunding sites.
Right. And put that up, and I guess, he's super appreciative for all the money and everything, and of course, I mean, I think it's still a good cause, whether it was him or not, and then he said, he didn't say that stuff. Sounds a little weird to me. Like, I'm wondering if maybe he didn't start the crowdsourcing for the bodybuilding competition he was in, but I don't feel like, I feel like he was the one who probably said that stuff about Dixie Carter.
Yes, this, kind of has a scent of a drunken sloppy douche to it, a little Kurt Angle late night tweeting, having to retract the next day saying he's hacked. To me, it seems, I mean, we've seen it so many times, since wrestlers unfortunately discovered the social media sites and have since put their foot in their mouths on several occasions. Who knows what the real story is? Only TNA and Jesse Sorensen know. But yeah, I just felt that we needed to clear up that story a little bit because I had some wrong information.
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple more TNA things. One, I'm actually literally just finding out right now, cruising the site. Looks like the show on August 24th in my hometown here in Eugene, Oregon. Is no longer being listed on the company's website, so it may have been canceled.
Yes.
I'm not sure if we'll be able to go anyway, but I was thinking about it, and that's kind of pretty shitty if it is canceled, because we don't get a whole lot of love here in Oregon, so we like to take what we can get.
Yes, I did hear that they did cancel several shows. I did not look at the list. I would not be surprised if your show was one of the ones.
Yeah, it looks like one there and one in Yakima or however
Yakima.
Washington douchebags pronounce your crazy city names. And then the
Amen.
Other TNA news. The other TNA news is they have been meeting with Grey Muta lately, which is awesome. If you're a true wrestling fan, you know who he is. I'm not super, super familiar with his work. I don't watch a whole lot of the international wrestling, but I definitely know who the guy is. I know the impact that he's had on the business. And apparently they're talking about some kind of a talent trade going on. I would love to see more Japanese wrestling brought stateside, even if it is through TNA that I don't watch a whole lot. I kind of have been getting back into them a little bit lately. So I would love to see some more Japanese wrestling brought over to American TV.
Yes, I totally agree. People may remember Great Muta as being he was in WCW for some time during the early and mid 90s. He's actually the innovator of the mist, the spitting the mist in people's faces.
Yes.
For, you know, it's a little update for you younger ones who might not know stuff like that. Yeah, he was one of the bigger name Japanese stars who came stateside during that time, and I think that it would be a great ambassador to start bringing some of those young Japanese talents over to here. So that's pretty cool. Did you have anything else TNA related?
The only other thing, I haven't followed it too much. Apparently, there's an August 1st warning. Somebody's coming back, and who knows who it is, and blah blah blah. I'm guessing it's probably Jeff Jarrett. I could be wrong. I know he's been gone for a while, which is kind of shocking considering he's such a big douche and it's kind of part his company. So I'm thinking it's him, but I guess we'll find out here in a couple days.
Yeah, there's been a few different people who was rumored to be in that spot. Loki was rumored. He's since denied it. I don't think that whoever it is going to be that big of a name. This is, you know, classic TNA, where they overhype these reveals for people who end up not really mattering. There's only been a few that have actually, you know, panned out. Kurt Angle being, I think, the biggest name that they brought in using this tactic. I'm not getting my hopes up for it being anything super.
I'm interested to see who it's going to be. I love good mystery, but no, I'm not expecting it to be anybody huge. Seeing also hardcore Bob Holly's name, whatever you want to call him, thrown around, and I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, gross.
I fucking hate Jeff Jarrett too, but I'm still interested to see who it is, even if it is one of them. So a couple more days, and I guess we'll find out.
And now it's time for Song of the Week. This week we bring you The Spire Burns by Killswitch Engaged. For Brett Beeler, this is Jeremy Staples saying, jerk off!